local and national news, sports and pop culture, with traffic and weather on the fives, and your texts. It's Pensacola, right now.
All right, we start hour number three here on Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Austin. News Radio Pensacola, informative, local, and dependable. Hope your day is going pretty good. A little slow-moving traffic right now. I-10 east and westbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Austin, you would agree. Looks like things are improving there, but still mainly in the westbound lanes. This was due to a motorcycle accident. So we don't know on the condition there, but it was definitely a pretty serious accident from the sounds of things that we had from our texters. So, but that looks like it's improving here. Eastbound traffic, yeah, a little slow just past Pine Forest, but westbound we're still seeing slowdowns there. So wanted to let you know on that here as we come on the air. Looking here at our top three stories on a Tuesday, President Biden announcing that he will address the nation tomorrow evening from the White House, where he will shed more light and more details, presumably, on his decision to drop out of the presidential race. The speech is expected to take place at 7 o'clock our time tomorrow evening. And, of course, you can expect us to carry that live for you. Vice President Kamala Harris, the presumptive Democratic nominee. Harris has received a flurry of endorsements and secured enough delegates to receive the official nomination. Both Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries endorsing Harris today. Director of the U.S. Secret Service resigning. Kimberly Cheadle faced mounting pressure from both sides of the aisle during yesterday's testimony in front of the House Oversight Committee. Multiple calls for her to either be resigned or to be fired. That's a look at our top three stories. We'll get our local headlines out of the way right after traffic and weather.
Expecting sun, clouds, and again, a chance for showers and thunderstorms to pop up around the area. In fact, over the next couple of days, that rain chance is a bit on the high side at 70%. It will be warm and humid, and that humidity always makes it feel hotter. Highs will run mainly in the upper 80s to low 90s. Of course, with more sunshine, the heat will be on. As far as the weekend goes, jumping ahead, we've got a 50% chance for rain both Saturday and Sunday. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strom with your WEAR News First Warning weather forecast.
Gosh, Alan, how rude to cut me off. I'm just kidding. All right. I'm looking at the roads here. Yes, as Joe, you said just a few minutes ago, we do have some backups still on I-10. Not nearly as severe as they were last hour, thank goodness, but you are going to have them reaching for a good ways if you are traveling westbound towards Pine Forest Road. They're still backing you up just a little ways past Pensacola Boulevard. Also, if you're traveling northbound on Pensacola Boulevard towards Detroit Boulevard, we got some backups there. And on Olive Road, if you're traveling westbound towards North Palafox Street, we had an accident reported there as well that may still be causing some minor backups. Then it's going to be Navarre Parkway if you are traveling westbound, passing Windhaven Beach, and then a bit more as you continue westbound towards Highway 87. Outside of that, though, there's not too much going on at this time. This traffic and weather update is brought to you by Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Joe?
All right. Thank you. Looking at our local headlines today, Gulf Breeze Police are asking for the public's help in locating a man who was last seen on July 4th. 53-year-old Charles Sutherland was reported missing on the 15th after not showing up for work on the 12th or 13th. Investigators say his phone was found at the Shoreline Park turf field in Gulf Breeze. He was described as 5'11 with brown eyes, brown hair, of the longer variety, the hair, that is. If you have any information, you're asked to contact Gulf Breeze Police. Pensacola Energy customers should not expect refunds anytime soon following a judge's ruling last week that the city unlawfully collected franchise fees for decades. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves told reporters today a lot of residents have been reaching out.
We're evaluating an appeal. You guys received a press release from a law firm, the law firm representing the other side, the plaintiff. Because of that, we've had lots of phone calls to our 311 department asking where people can pick up checks. That is not, we are nowhere near that, regardless of what we decide.
Yeah, the ruling from Judge Jan Shackelford came from a class action lawsuit that was filed back in 2015. She ruled that because the franchise fees were illegally collected, the city would be on the hook to repay between $18 and $20 million to Pensacola Energy customers living within city limits. Dozens of now former employees of ST Engineering in Pensacola are speaking out, saying they've been dealt a pretty bad hand and the company's to blame. According to Channel 3, around 50 employees on work visas from Chile were suddenly let go and risk being deported. They say the company provided 2 weeks severance, little else.
It's difficult for the city to play an active role in how a private company operates its department. Obviously, and I appreciate that, you know, us being aware of what's going on is important. And if there's something that we can do for to advocate for Pensacolians with any company, that's good to know.
Reaction from Mayor there. ST Engineering says they are now currently in the process of providing all immigration documents to affected employees to be renewed, which will allow them to find another job. The employee speaking out said, hey, besides the fact that we thought we were coming to the States for long-term employment, they said that the company had not been proactive in providing them the necessary documentation to avoid getting deported there. So that's an update on that story today. 6:18, we'll take a break on that note. A look at our state and national news coming up next on Pensacola Right Now.
When the open road or off-road calls, the 2024 Subaru Forester answers. Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The impressive off-road capability of the Forester Wilderness starts with its dependable symmetrical all-wheel drive. It optimizes power distribution between the wheels to deliver maximum traction on challenging trails or in slippery weather conditions. Pair that with 9.2 inches of ground clearance and standard Yokohama Geolander AT all-terrain tires, and you'll feel free to explore even farther down the trail. Plus, the Forester Wilderness comes with a full-size spare, a rare sight these days. The Forester Wilderness makes it easy to load up for adventure with an extra-wide rear gate opening and 60-40 split fold-down rear seat. And its interior protective material stands up to wear and tear from all that gear, passengers, and pets. The Forester Wilderness is built for your boldest adventures. Find yours at Anderson Subaru. Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
How long could your business function without email? I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. Three Gulf Coast businesses had their email shut down for 2 days because one employee clicked a spam email link. Be suspicious of any unsolicited email offers, especially if they are too good to be true. Businesses on the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
Join Tim Ireland from Forrest Jordan & Associates, the Generator Guys, Thursday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tim will be sharing his expertise on home generators and what's involved in getting one for your home. Information on why you would need one, system costs, and what a home generator can do for your home, and answer questions on how they work.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Don't miss Disney's Descendants at Pensacola Little Theater July 19th through August 4th. Watch as the children of Disney's most notorious villains, Maleficent, the Evil Queen, Cruella de Vil, and Jafar attend Aradon Prep, a school for the children of heroes and royalty, where they must decide where their loyalties lie, with their villainous parents or forging their own destiny. Secure your tickets for this show online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com or at the PLT box office.
We need your help.
It's the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon for the Studer Family Children's Hospital.
The 6th annual Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon is Friday, August 16th in the lobby of the Studer Family Children's Hospital, presented by Hanto and Clark.
Hear stories of bravery and inspiration from local kids and families who have benefited from the care and expertise of the hospital's highly trained physicians and staff.
All the money stays right here.
Special thank you to miracle sponsor Florida Blue.
Our champion sponsors include Kia Autosport and Tel Staffing and HR.
Thank you.
Proceeds will benefit the life-saving programs and services at Studer Family Children's Hospital.
This year, help us raise money for the NICU's Angel Eye cameras.
You can get more at catcountrycares.com or text KIDS to 850-430-1987.
Proudly supporting your kids at the Cat Country Cares for Kids Radiothon.
When America needed a hero, we turned to conservative Aaron Dimmock. A decorated combat pilot, Dimmock led missions against cartels in the Gulf. He'll take that fight to Biden's open border chaos. He's pro-life, pro-gun, and pro-Trump. Because Aaron Dimmock's a conservative fighter we can be proud of. Florida Patriots PAC paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FloridaPatriotsPAC.com.
No matter how you listen, you can rely on News Radio Pensacola to keep you informed and safe when storms strike. You can listen on our mobile app.
Sings this?
Bachman Turner Overdrive.
All right.
I think they're also the same ones that sing Taking Care of Business.
Okay. Very good. Continue. Well, I guess it's my turn.
I was about to say I was going to do traffic, but then I realized it's only 6:22, so yeah. I just held off.
6:23 now at News Radio Pensacola again. Well, things look like they're getting better on I-10, so that's some good news there.
Yeah.
Looking here at what's going on around the state of Florida today, most of Florida's delegates to the Democratic National Convention are supporting Vice President Kamala Harris. The Florida Democratic Party says 236 of the 254 delegates are backing Harris to replace President Biden at the top of the ticket. Party Chair Nikki Fried says Harris also has the support of every Democratic member of Florida's congressional delegation.
And Florida's citrus industry is showing signs of improvement. The U.S. Department of Agriculture released its final forecast report for the 23-24 growing season earlier this month. It shows the state's citrus production is up more than 11% compared to the previous season. The good news comes as farmers are starting to recover after their crops suffered serious damage due to Hurricane Ian in 2022.
State of Florida working on a plan to keep kids off social media. Attorney General Ashley Moody released a list of ways officials plan to enforce a new state law that's designed to prevent children under the age of 16 from creating social media accounts. The measure would also ban minors from having access to online pornography sites. One of the three proposed rules states that a willful disregard of a person's age is a reckless violation of the state restrictions. A hearing could take place before the rules are finalized.
And a Northeast Florida lawmaker fighting back against efforts to remove certain books from school libraries. State Representative Angie Nixon opened a Northwest Jacksonville bookstore earlier this month to sell books that are banned in the state. Cafe Resistance has literature featuring untold stories from a variety of diverse authors. Nixon told News 4 Jax that the bookstore is in response to inaccurate teachings of African American and Black history across the state's public school system.
Also, this November, Floridians will be voting on Amendment 3, which would legalize recreational marijuana for adults 21 years old and older. Governor DeSantis told the Florida Sheriff's Association conference that if it passes, people will be lighting up everywhere.
Some have said, well, you know, I don't really like it, but I'll just tell people you can't do it in my restaurant or in my hotel. I don't think it's going to be that simple. I think this is written so broadly with no limitations. What, you're going to strip somebody of this broad constitutional right? It gets dicey.
DeSantis says if it passes, the right for marijuana use will be a broader right than your First Amendment right to free speech and your Second Amendment right to bear arms.
Mm. 6:25 here. We'll get another quick check of the roads and weather. It looks like the congestion on I-10 going both east and west has completely cleared out. So that's very good news there. It had been giving us grief for about an hour, actually over an hour. And also, we still have some backups on Navarre Parkway if you're traveling westbound towards Highway 87. Outside of that one spot, though, there doesn't appear to be too much holding you up at this time.
We're expecting sun, clouds, and again, a chance for showers and thunderstorms to pop up around the area. In fact, over the next couple of days, that rain chance is a bit on the high side at 70%. It will be warm and humid, and that humidity always makes it feel hotter. Highs will run mainly in the upper 80s to low 90s. Of course, with more sunshine, the heat will be on. As far as the weekend goes, jumping ahead, we've got a 50% chance for rain both Saturday and Sunday. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strom with your WEAR News First Warning weather forecast.
All right, looking at our national news today, Secret Service Deputy Director Ronald Rowe will now temporarily serve as the agency's leader. DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas made the announcement after Director Kimberly Cheadle resigned, of course, due to the widespread criticism over her performance following the attempted assassination of Donald Trump. President Biden is tasked with picking the next Secret Service lead and says he plans to make his pick soon. That's going to be an interesting selection, because if Donald Trump wins in November, that's going to be a very short tenure for Biden's appointee.
You're right. No, that is something to consider. Body cam video being made public after the deadly police shooting of Sonya Massey earlier this month in Springfield, Illinois. The Sangamon County Sheriff's Office released a video showing former Deputy Sean Grayson shooting the black woman to death inside her home on July 6th. The incident happened after Massey called 911 to report a possible intruder. Former Deputy Grayson is being held without bail on first-degree murder charges. Joe, you and I talked about it earlier this afternoon.
It was...
Obviously, Grayson acted aggressively. There's no denying that. However, we talked about her quote regarding the "I rebuke you."
It was odd, right. Watching it, and I didn't watch the full video, but it was about what, 4 or 5 minutes, and so I kind of skimmed through or whatever. But you get to she calls them because of a possible intruder, right?
Right.
So she is then in the house with two deputies. And it's almost like they're just like making small talk, right? At least that's kind of the impression that I got or something. And then one of the deputy in question here was antsy, I feel like, in just the way he was talking. She moved back into the kitchen. Like, I don't know if there was like a mental health thing or whatever. It's just her movements in there were just kind of odd.
Her daughter described her as a paranoid schizophrenic.
All right. Okay. Okay. That would make sense, at least in my mind, watching that, because, you know, she goes back into the kitchen and she is boiling water.
Right.
And the deputy is questioning, was like, hey, why are you backing away or something like that. And then there was the phrase, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. That was it.
And when I heard that, I thought she was joking, like, or something. Like, she was just like, oh, I'm just backing away. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus or something. And then the deputy, who was closest to her, says something to the effect of, oh, you better not. I'll shoot you right in the face. And then pulls the gun out. And then, to which case, she's like, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And it was just odd. It was just odd to watch. But anyway, 6:29 here at News Radio, terrible story regardless.
Yeah.
Also, embattled New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez will be resigning from Congress. Scott Pringle with more.
Well, for a long time, high-profile fellow Democrats were calling on Menendez to step down, but the veteran politician refused and went through a lengthy trial battling federal bribery charges that accused him of illegally accepting cash, gold bars, and gifts, and serving as a foreign agent. Well, last week, Menendez was found guilty on all felony counts. He vows to appeal and now has decided to step down as senator on August 20th. Governor Phil Murphy is expected to appoint a replacement who will serve through the end of the year. Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New Jersey.
All right, thank you, Scott. 6:30 right now. We'll take a quick break. Sports news, health, business, and science, pop culture, entertainment. Still plenty more to come as we wind down to Tuesday evening here at News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Tom Rigotti. New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez has submitted his resignation letter after being convicted of taking bribes. Fox's Chad Pergen reports from Capitol Hill.
It was pretty clear that the Senate was probably going to try to expel him. The Senate Ethics Committee was looking at a report, and they were going to try to put something out in the next couple of days.
Menendez will leave office on August 20th. Vice President Kamala Harris holds her first campaign rally since President Biden announced he won't seek re-election in battleground Wisconsin. Fox's Alexis McAdams is there.
In this speech, she really leaned into her former role as a prosecutor, hitting the former president on his rap sheet, calling him a felon, and saying she'll put her record up against his any day of the week. That came as the crowd here was chanting, lock him up.
The Harris team has raised more than $100 million since Sunday. America's listening to Fox News.
I'm Chad Robison with Your Money Now. Stocks finished the day lower after a strong start. The Dow fell 57. The S&P 500 dropped more than 8.5. And the NASDAQ Composite fell 10 points. U.S. airline regulators are now opening an investigation into Delta Airlines, which is still struggling to restore its operations even today, more than 4 full days after a faulty software update late last week disrupted global air travel. Southwest is also now under federal investigation. Comcast reporting a mixed bag today, failing to reach their revenue estimates due to a tough year-over-year comparison for its film studio and theme parks, but the company's streaming service Peacock continues to gain. The company's revenue fell nearly 3% to just under $29.7 billion. U.S. crude oil futures for September were down more than 1% to around $77.50 a barrel. That's Your Money Now.
This is Zach Gelb with the Sports Minute, sponsored by Napa Silent Guard Brakes. I have the Panthers, Patriots, and Broncos as the three worst teams in the NFL right now. All three have young quarterbacks, though, in Bryce Young, Drake May, and Bo Nix. Bryce Young had a terrible 2023 season, and as for the rookies, Bo Nix will probably start week one, and Drake May will probably start on the bench. But those three QBs are the only hope those three fan bases have, because you either have a QB or you don't, and if you do, then your misfortune can turn to gold rather quickly. I'm Zach Gelb.
Looking for a way to elevate your engine's performance? Start with Napa Full Synthetic Engine Oil. It provides faster oil flow for hot and cold temperature protection in the harshest driving conditions. Regular use can help your engine run cleaner and longer by defending against sludge and buildup, improving overall engine performance and fuel efficiency while increasing the time between oil changes. Make the switch without slowing down. Feed your ride Napa Full Synthetic Engine Oil. Available now at Napa locations nationwide.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a 1-carat diamond for 10 bucks? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get beach time and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Friday at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon, the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Pep Talk, the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Welcome, Robbie.
Good morning, Jess.
It's definitely rainy outside today, and I definitely don't want to be outside riding my bike unless I know what gear to wear.
What gear to wear? And definitely have fenders on your bike so you don't get that great racing stripe up your back, that big piece of mud sticking on your back.
I like mud on my back.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, mornings 9 till 11, before Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Radio Pensacola. Just a little bit past 6:35 here. We'll get another quick check of roads and weather. I could have sworn I was turning this music dial down. Apparently I wasn't. Forgive me for that. We'll get another quick check.
You couldn't even tell it was me.
You're right. I couldn't. It was perfect, really weird.
Perfect blend, harmony, all that.
Yeah, I was looking at the soundboard wondering, why isn't it getting quieter? All right, just past 6:35. Another quick check of the roads and weather here. We do have an accident report. This is going to be on Pensacola Boulevard, right where it meets 9 Mile Road. There is some congestion being caused on both Pensacola Boulevard and Palafox Street if you're traveling northbound towards 9 Mile. It does not reach for too far, though, so hopefully that will not hold you up for overly long. Also had some backups still on Navarre Parkway if you're traveling westbound towards Highway 87, but also that is not very severe at this time. So outside of those couple spots, there shouldn't be much holding you up.
We're expecting sun, clouds, and again, a chance for showers and thunderstorms to pop up around the area. In fact, over the next couple of days, that rain chance is a bit on the high side at 70%. It will be warm and humid, and that humidity always makes it feel hotter. Highs will run mainly in the upper 80s to low 90s. Of course, with more sunshine, the heat will be on. As far as the weekend goes, jumping ahead, we've got a 50% chance for rain both Saturday and Sunday. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strom with your WEAR News First Warning weather forecast.
All right, thank you. 6:39. Austin, what's going on in sports today? Anything exciting?
Well, we'll give some updates on some local MLB teams we got going on here. All right, so we had our first game get underway at 5:40, just about an hour ago. Marlins versus Orioles. The Marlins are up 4-2 in the top of the third. That's a good one, too, because the Orioles are, well, I mean, they're the top team in the AL, I think. They're one of the top teams in the league, and the Marlins are one of the worst teams in the league. So that's a good move for Miami there if they can hold on for that win. The Rays and Blue Jays. Rays are up 1-0 in the bottom of the second. And then the Braves and Reds, they are tied at 0, top of the first, rain delay. Surprise, surprise. Not the first time we've seen that out of them recently. But yeah, so there's your MLB updates. We also had in college football, we've been talking a lot about SMU. They still seem eager to get into some ACC action. Mustangs head coach Rhett Lashley acknowledged during ACC media days that the move to the conference is a bump up in the weight class, but nonetheless has confidence that his guys will be able to compete. SMU went 11-3 last season with all of their losses being to Power 5 competition. Now, Joe, something that you've been mentioning when we're talking about this story is how glorious of a program SMU was in the 80s before their death penalty. And I figured I would do some research. So just to put into perspective just how good SMU was, from 1980 to 1986, they had all winning seasons. They went 61-19-1. They had four consecutive years with 10-plus wins, 1981 to 1984. And in 81 and 82, they actually had claimed national titles with the latter going 11-0-1 and winning the Cotton Bowl. So that was up until 1986. In 1987 and 88, they missed football due to the death penalty, so they did not field a football team, did not have scholarship players, all that. Since then, 8 seasons with 1 win or less. That's how far they fell. Half of those were pre-1996. So not even a decade after the death penalty was dealt, they had 4 1-win seasons. Their 2023 run, when they went 11-3, as I just said, that ties 1982 for the second most wins that they've ever had in a season. So it shows SMU how great they were when they were cheating, when they got caught for it, how much it ruined their program, and where they are now and how that holds up historically. And you were talking about some of the, you said oil tycoons, some of the big-name boosters that they've got over in Dallas that remember those days, remember how great they were, remember how humbled they were, and they're wanting to see this team return to glory. So yeah, that, just give me an approximation. How many years do you think it'll take for SMU to be a contender in the ACC?
I think within 2 seasons, two or 3 seasons, full recruiting classes. Maybe, well, you know what? I can't even say that long, because who knows, man? With the transfer portal now,
I think they'll go bowling their first year.
Yeah,
and that means something.
I think 2 years, if they get the right players in with recruiting high schoolers or transfer portals. I mean, if they're gonna, if there's a disgruntled quarterback that's stuck behind the depth chart at an Ohio State or Georgia or something, and right, SMU comes along and says, "Hey, what's the price tag?" And if they throw it out there, I mean, who's to say?
Yeah, no, I think that's
the world we live in now.
It would be quite impressive if they, let's say, were like a 10-win team after a couple seasons in the ACC. That'd be huge. Sticking with football, but on a more professional scale, the NFL and NFLPA have been in high-level discussions regarding whether to add an 18th game to the regular season schedule. League Commissioner Roger Goodell has hinted at this before, and he's advocated for a scheduling format that would finish with the Super Bowl being on the Sunday before President's Day. I think all of us could get behind that. The Jacksonville Jaguars also, they have signed cornerback Tyson Campbell to a 4-year, $76.5 million extension, with $53.4 million of that guaranteed. The deal makes him one of the NFL's higher-paid corners. Over just a few years in the league, he's racked up some pretty impressive statistics. Over 200 total tackles, 6 interceptions, 30 pass breakups, and 2 fumble recoveries. Also, in women's basketball, the WNBA continues to draw record viewership, adding this year's All-Star Game to the list. The game that saw Team WNBA defeat Team USA in Phoenix drew an average of 3.44 million viewers. That's the third largest audience for a WNBA broadcast ever. Only the league's first 2 games that aired in 1997 drew larger audiences. For comparison, last year's All-Star Game only drew in 850,000 viewers. And lastly here, the NBA Summer League is in the books, with the Miami Heat going to overtime to beat the Memphis Grizzlies 120-118 in last night's final. Despite being on the losing end, Memphis had the 3 highest scorers of the game: Jake LaRavia, Scottie Pippen Jr., and G.G. Jackson II.
Wait, this was what? Summer League?
Yeah, the Summer League final last night.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's the thing. I mean, those are some young studs, so I'm sure it won't be the last that we're hearing of them. So congrats to of course, you know, they put up a good fight, but they nonetheless lost close. So congrats to the Grizzlies for one heck of an effort, and the Heat, hey, Florida represent, winning the Summer League final there.
Let's hang up a banner.
Yeah, let's hang up a banner for it. We do that for everything nowadays. Just about 6:45 here. We'll get another quick check of the roads and weather. Still got some minor backups on Navarre Parkway if you're traveling. This is going to be traveling westbound, passing Highway 87, but that shouldn't be holding you up for too long. Outside of that, every other spot where we had issues has seemingly cleared out. So if you're dealing with any other problems on the roads that are causing any congestion for you, hopefully it should clear up soon.
We're expecting sun, clouds, and again, a chance for showers and thunderstorms to pop up around the area. In fact, over the next couple of days, that rain chance is a bit on the high side at 70%. It will be warm and humid, and that humidity always makes it feel hotter. Highs will run mainly in the upper 80s to low 90s. Of course, with more sunshine, the heat will be on. As far as the weekend goes, jumping ahead, we've got a 50% chance for rain both Saturday and Sunday. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strom with your WEAR News First Warning weather forecast.
Switching gears to health, business, and science today. Delta Airlines says it'll take another couple of days to recover from a global computer outage that happened on Friday, with the airline canceling more than 4,000 flights since then. CEO Ed Bastian says yesterday the company is doing everything possible, including increases in incentive pay for pilots and flight attendants.
And a bill which requires that American flags be made in America is heading to President Biden's desk for his signature. The All-American Flag Act will require that the federal government only buys American flags which have been completely produced and manufactured in the United States. Under current law, the federal government is only required to purchase flags that contain 50% American-made materials. You learn something new every day.
Sales of previously owned homes fell in June to its lowest pace since December. The National Association of Realtors says sales dropped 5.4% compared with May. The group's chief economist says the figures indicate a slow shift from a seller's market to a buyer's market. Rising inventory and high mortgage rates are key factors. The median price of a home sold in June was just under $427,000.
And Wall Street closing slightly lower as investors await key earnings reports. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 57 points to 4358. The S&P 500 slipped 8 points to 5555, oddly enough. And the NASDAQ fell 10 points to 17997.
All right. And also we have... Nope, that's it. Pop culture notes, good news story a bit early. Celine Dion will perform at the Olympics opening ceremony in Paris on Friday. Variety and TMZ both report the singer is set to give her first performance since 2019. Almost 2 years ago, she revealed that she had been diagnosed with stiff person syndrome. She was forced to cancel all of her tour dates due to that diagnosis.
Yeah, great news there for sure. And Comic-Con opens tomorrow night in San Diego with 135,000 people attending and much more star power this year. The pandemic saw the 2020 convention canceled and the 2021 version was scaled back over Thanksgiving, while the dual writers and actor strikes in Hollywood impacted last year's show. But this year, the convention is back in full force and it's going to be headlined by Deadpool and Wolverine actors Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good headliner to have there with Deadpool and Wolverine. I mean, that's what? Isn't that out this week, I think?
It may be, but, I mean, what's impressive is that we've talked about it so much, and it's just now coming out. It's wild how much hype that movie has garnered over time. I mean, yeah, it's unreal. Also, the first full trailer for the Joker sequel is out now. Joker Folie à Deux sees Joaquin Phoenix reprising his role as Gotham's clown prince of crime. Of course, this one will also be starring Lady Gaga, who's playing Harley Quinn. The original 2019 film was a hit, had 11 Oscar nominations, and Joaquin Phoenix took home the Academy Award for Best Actor, and it made more than $1 billion at the global box office to become the highest-grossing R-rated film in history. So quite impressive.
Yeah, it was a dark movie.
Very, very dark. I mean, just because that's the thing. I mean, I think a lot of people like movies like that because not only does it have, you know, sometimes it'll have action and sometimes, you know, it'll have like impactful scenes that really stick with you or whatever, but also it captures the emotion and just the lack of mental well-being for the Joker. And it gives his character a lot of substance. So that was very well done there.
All right, we'll take a final break this evening. Back to wrap things up next.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope, from the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Hey, Andrew McKay here on the Pensacola Morning News. We talked quite a bit about the Secret Service Director's non-testimony. I mean, she didn't say much, so I think that's what you've got to call it. Also talked with Chief Leiter from the Escambia County Sheriff's Office about various activities the Sheriff's Office does that you might not even know about. And the drama at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting yesterday, where they had to end the meeting twice just because one commissioner would not stop talking. You guess which one. Catch all those podcasts at newsradio923.com.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Pensacola right now on News Radio Pensacola. 6:51 here before we get our last check of the roads and weather for this evening. We'll give one last rundown of our top three stories here. President Biden says that he will address the nation tomorrow from the Oval Office. He made the announcement in a post on X. This will be his first on-camera appearance since he dropped out of the 2024 presidential race on Sunday. Also, Vice President Kamala Harris is the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee. Of course, she received a lot of endorsements and secured, you know, enough delegates to receive the official nomination. The news came just hours after Harris held her first on-camera campaign event in Delaware, where she told crowds she was ready to take on Donald Trump. And the director of the U.S. Secret Service has already resigned. Kimberly Cheadle faced mounting pressure from both sides of the aisle to step down following the assassination attempt on former President Trump. And she testified before Congress yesterday, providing few details about the event and in the process angering many lawmakers. After the hearing, Kentucky Republican James Comer and Maryland Democrat Jamie Raskin released a rare joint letter calling on Cheadle to step down. And Joe, as you and I said earlier, this was something that we knew was probably going to happen, but they were quite proactive here.
It just makes me wonder, because we have, since we've been doing the show, how many high-profile hearings have we had,
right?
Whether it was somebody appointed by a Republican or a Democrat, where, you know, they sit in the hot seat for 5-6 hours or however long, and then they take the bullets there, and then everybody just moves on with their life and nothing happens. That's kind of, at least for now, what I expected. So it was mildly surprising to me that the resignation came today. I just wonder, though, it just makes you wonder, who was the phone call from that changed her mind? Or what was the, because I have a hard time believing that her leaving that meeting last night or yesterday was, man, they're right. I just need to resign. I wonder if there wasn't a high profile call from somebody to her that said, "Hey,
resign.
You need to get out here."
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, it could have been. It could have been a very prominent phone call, it could have been a phone call from someone very prominent. I mean, where they could have said, "Look, clearly the writing's on the wall. You're fighting a losing battle here. Go ahead and." Just go ahead and hang it up. I don't know. Heck, it could have been Biden, potentially. Who knows? We weren't there. Just about 6:55 now. We'll get that last quick check of the roads and weather. Let's see. I'm not seeing too much going on the roads here. We were dealing with some minor congestion on Navarre Parkway, traveling westbound passing Highway 87, but that has just about cleared out. So if you're dealing with any problems wherever you may be on the roads, they hopefully should not hold you up for long.
We're expecting sun, clouds, and again, a chance for showers and thunderstorms to pop up around the area. In fact, over the next couple of days, that rain chance is a bit on the high side at 70%. It will be warm and humid, and that humidity always makes it feel hotter. Highs will run mainly in the upper 80s to low 90s. Of course, with more sunshine, the heat will be on. As far as the weekend goes, jumping ahead, we've got a 50% chance for rain both Saturday and Sunday. I'm Chief Meteorologist Alan Strom with your WEAR News First Warning weather forecast.
All right, thank you, Alan. Taking a look here at some wackier stories, good news as well. Austin, a big news story for you today.
What's that?
A company called Swype, that's S-W-Y-P-E,
okay,
is selling a new vape pen that's also a smartphone.
Oh,
now I know you.
See what this has to do with.
Well, it's because you, every commercial break we have, light one up and just go to town. It's I can't even see you across the counter here because yeah, it's just a plume of smoke.
I draw smiley faces on the window. Yeah, I'm just taking the edge off every time we get off air.
So this Swipe vape pen is a smartphone. It's rectangular with a screen on the side, so you can check social media and send text messages while you vape. It pairs with your phone, so you don't need a separate phone plan for it. And they're disposable, so each one costs around $20, and you just simply throw it away when it runs out of juice. It's got a couple of video games that are pre-installed, a weather app, and a fitness tracker as well. Austin, are you intrigued with the vape pen that also acts as a limited smartphone?
I got to tell you, man, this sounds, I mean, I'm not even trying to be overdramatic here. This sounds like a breakthrough for multitasking technology. And for that much of a bargain, I mean, $20, I understand that you still have to have like a, you know, a phone plan and all that. And it, you know, and it
pairs off your phone.
That's the thing. I mean, it's still for that to only cost $20 and be disposable, assuming that it actually is like disposable. That's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know.
The question is how often, like how quickly is it disposing? Because
that's true.
If it's like a week, well, I mean, $20, you know, that's
yeah,
not
$20 a week.
If you're telling me that like, hey, it'll last you, you know, a year or two.
Oh gosh, if that's
I mean,
the case,
I don't know. But
we'll have to see. But either way, I do think as someone who is not a vapor, I do think that we could be devoting this kind of genius to maybe something more useful. I don't know what, but I'm sure there's a lot of things we could choose from. A woman in England brought a plant to work 15 years ago, and it's completely taken over her office. It's a type of ivy that never stops growing. So it's now well over 300 feet long, and it winds across the whole ceiling. She named it Audrey 2 after the plant in Little Shop of Horrors.
Huh, that's interesting. By the way, going back to the vape pen that's a phone... you know what it reminded me of?
What?
It reminded me of the episode of Friends where Joey is dating Kathy and Chandler is in love with her, the short-haired redhead girl.
I think I know who you're talking about.
And so, but it's her birthday and Joey needs to get her a gift, so he goes out and buys her a pen that also has a clock on it.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So that's what it was reminding me of. Anyway. And then he tries, because Chandler got her the Velveteen Rabbit. And then Joey was trying to, he got the gift for Joey to give to her, and so Joey tried to pan off the pen to Chandler as a gift from him, and so one of good episodes there. By the way, my wife and I, we are in the process of working our way through Friends, like from start to finish chronologically.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that a while back. How
so
much progress
we're
have you
in
made?
We're towards the end of season 3.
Oh wow!
So we're getting. Not close, but closer to the midway point.
Because what, it was like 10 seasons, right?
I think so, yeah. Looking here, also, Alexa has a new feature that'll help you communicate better with your teenager. Amazon announced a new feature where Alexa can teach you how to talk like a Gen Zer. You say, Alexa, talk Gen Z to me. She'll spit out some slang along with a definition. They added 20 terms to start, and some of them you know. Ick means disgust. That's pretty obvious.
Right.
I was not aware until our resident Gen Zer here told me that T means gossip, and yep. The idea being that, like, if you're on the Titanic and the an earlier period, you are sitting around the table with a cup of tea in your hand, gossiping.
Just having tea with somebody
about other people. Yeah,
any time period.
Sus is suspicious. Mid means mediocre. And Riz is charisma. As we all know, I have plenty of that.
Yes.
Good news. A police dog in North Carolina helped get a lost little boy home after somebody spotted him walking down a road all alone. The kid, 6 years old, couldn't tell cops where he lived because he's autistic and nonverbal. So they got a bloodhound named Remy to do a reverse canine track. Within 15 minutes, he found the kid's house a half mile away.